Paulson from Americana Music News. We are based in Nashville, and on any given evening, we can point you to about a half dozen terrific musical experiences. But the most unique experience you might find in Nashville is a show called Doyle and Debbie. It is a parody of country music. It is a celebration of traditional country music, and it is funny. By the way, don't share this podcast with your Sunday school class. And it is the creative work of Bruce Arnston and Jenny Littleton, who are our guests today.
And Bruce and Jenny are fabulously creative people who have had success on many levels and have chosen to devote their life to the fictional characters of Doyle and Debbie. So I think we've set the stage vaguely.
Yeah.
How do you describe, if it's a possible booking, Bruce, how do you describe the show to a third party?
The phrase that I generally come back to is the Grand Ole Opry on acid. Mm-hmm. And because we are parodying and playing with old school country music. I mean, the people that we're actually portraying existed more in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and before anything got slick. These people are anything. Back when all of our favorite country artists literally came from dirt, where you'd have, you know, people talking about the dirt floor in their house and never saw linoleum until they were 9 years old and stories like that. Well, that's kind of where our characters are, hillbillies with money, except we never quite got to the money part. So we're still aspiring and the real basic narrative of our show, of the 90-minute play, is that Doyle is trying to make a comeback with his now third Debbie. And this gal has been with him for 6 weeks when they finally hit Nashville. And this is her big Nashville debut, Doyle's attempt to regain his former glory, and her realization during the course of the play that she has made a horrible mistake.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that puts it well and makes it sound vaguely socially valuable. You know, let's listen to a song that sort of embodies the spirit of Doyle and Debbie. Yes.
Yeah.
Wine, wine, twine, twine. Don't you hear me sing? Wine, wine, twine, twine. Don't you love strong and bright? Cheep, cheep, give wine, cheep, cheep, wine, 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 twine, twine.
I got a truck, go buy some beer. Let's take a ride away from here. I'll get a bottle of Muscatel and a little cheap motel. I gotta have some atmosphere.
I'm not the kind of girl to go for the cowboy Romeo. How do I know that you're sincere?
Wine, wine, twine, twine. Don't you love to hear me sing? Wine, wine, twine, twine. Don't you love the strong and bright?
Cheap affair, there's no reason I should care, but I love you with my heart and soul.
This isn't right, I gotta go. I don't see you anymore. You gotta use some self-control, and we don't want my wife to know.
Wine, 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 wine. Don't you love to hear me sing? Wine, wine, twine, twine. Don't you love strum and grind? Cheap, cheap.
Cheap, cheap, you pine, cheap, cheap, wine, 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 wine.
Wine Wine Twang Twang, and why that was never hit is beyond me.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's got to actually be harder to write a funny song, a funny country song, in it, you know, in the genre. Well, humor's always tougher.
Not for me.
Not for him. Really? I don't know that he can write a serious song. No, he can. But he's got to be a goof about. I'm sorry.
No, that's right.
You go ahead and speak for yourself.
No. Okay. That's right. It is just easier for me to go there. Mm-hmm. That's just my sensibility. I don't write country songs to pitch for serious country songs. But there again, back in the old days, novelty songs were on the radio all the time, mixed in even on pop radio, on AM radio, the way that I grew up with. I would hear May the Bird of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose and stuff like that. And Roger Miller, I adored, and his crazy songs, Chug Lug and Dang Me. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we're a little more in that tradition, just taking it a step further, ridiculousness. But but that's just the easier for me to be that way. Yeah, ridicule. Yeah.
Well, and actually, Roger Miller is so apt because he broke rules.
Yeah.
And he pushed some boundaries of then very conservative taste. Chug-a-Lug was, I suppose, second cousin to White Lightning. Mm-hmm. But he was always unafraid to try something different. And that's a. Yeah. So this is, if Roger were around, he would enjoy this show. I'm confident.
Man, I would hope. The principal difference between us is that he can actually write great, serious songs. If I had a king of the road in me, I would just be so happy, but I don't. So.
One of the frustrations I have in explaining the show to others, and I find myself doing it a lot because I've become evangelistic about what you guys do, it's hard to convey the fun factor and actually the joy in seeing it more than once. It's not Rocky Horror quite, but there's something about the play unfolding and watching Debbie evolve in the course of this, from sheer joy at being on stage with this star to whatever state you're in at the very end of the show. which is open to interpretation,
right.
I guess. My wife and I have talked about watching it. And so tonight, let's just watch Debbie. let's just watch her entire role. Anyway, it's the number of people who want to see it repeatedly is surprisingly large. And I have to believe there are people who come up to you and say, I've seen you 12 times or 14 times.
We had somebody, was it somebody 60 or 40-something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what was wrong with him.
So how do you keep it fresh for yourselves?
It's still fun, and I don't know if you can really even explain that. I guess we don't do it as often as, we're doing it always once a week, but that's probably part of it. But we enjoy working together, and with Buddy as well. We have another buddy that subs in occasionally when Buddy number one is off doing Shakespeare. And we enjoy each other, and I think that's part of it. And the material is really, really good. It's when you're doing good stuff, it makes it easier. And I love his writing. It still makes me laugh. And he's not an ass. if you were, I'd be long gone.
So, and you've clarified what I should have. Bruce has created Doyle and Debbie and wrote everything. I'm just curious, Jenny, do you ever say, how about this line here instead?
I usually try to stick with what you... I trust his writing. Maybe in the very beginning I might have said... I don't know, I think you had written auntie or something, or auntie or something, and I was like, no, it's ain't. Mm-hmm. It's always ain't. It's ain't Mary, ain't this, ain't whatever, you know, something like that. It'd be something really, but he's got such a grasp.
Early on, I would say, what's something you would say to your kids?
Oh, yeah, that's
what's
right.
A reprimand for your kids better than this one? What's a better name for this person?
Yeah,
what's
you
a better...
did ask me. You said, what did you hear? And I said, I heard I'll knock a knot on your head, jerk a knot in your tail.
Yeah.
well, I can't say the other one, but because it's radio, but but yeah, so we took one of those,
yeah,
every now and again. But he's got such a handle on it. It's like sometimes it's I feel like it'd be just really overstepping my territory to really tell him anything.
And by now, you know it works.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work on any particular night, it's the audience's fault.
Always the audience's fault.
You've tested this.
Always.
So, Bruce, take us back to the moment of inspiration for this. Where did this come from?
I had three, four parody songs that I used to do with another performing partner back in the 80s. And we never did a whole show, but we did a little bit of a segment, 10 minutes worth, in my rock and roll circus kind of R&B thing that I used to do. And I'd always wanted to build a show around that. And then I worked with Jenny in 98 in a low-budget movie when she was a baby. And she was just hilarious, and I knew that someday we would work together. And I approached her about it and brought her over to see if those songs were keys that she could use. And she sang, and I didn't know, and a lot of people didn't know she sang like that. We know her as an actor, so she could just mimic Dolly and Patsy and Tammy, and she did. She did a line out of a song spoken, and I said, just speak that line, and she spoke it, and I go, oh God, do you know any Tammy? She had done a Tammy show, so she did a recitative from a Tammy record, and so then I just said, okay, and I started writing furiously, because that just tickles me. We have every other song now is recitative, just because I can't resist. It's so much fun. So once we had the notion, I started, and also I had done some on CMT. I had written a handful of behind the music type of things for country music, and so I would go to the Country Music Hall of Fame, to the archives, and listen to old Opry shows from the 50s and 60s, and hear Porter and Roy Acuff, and you can't take their stuff out of there, so you got to sit there with headphones, listen. So I had a notepad, and I would just hear. So I used a bunch of those cliches in the show. Talking mighty fine, Debbie, mighty fine. I mean, they say that all the time, and just stuff like that, kind of tuning my ear toward that. And then I would have friends on the Opry, particularly Fred Labor, Too Slim of Riders in the Skies, was a real good friend of mine. And he would get me backstage all the time, and I would just hang with Porter and all of those guys, Jim Ed Brown, and just listen to the cadences and watch Porter in particular, where he would sit there like a lump in a chair until someone would say, 10 seconds, Porter, and he would wing, he would come to life like an animatronic thing at Disney World. And I just loved that about him, and he would speak as if he had not a clue of what he was going to say next, and he didn't. And he would just start to proclaim in a very sort of, you know, a stentorial professional voice from bygone days, and he would say, and now our next singer is a young woman who's going to sing you a little song. You know? And it sounded right, and yet it sounded wrong at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So the TV show that I was working on, I would pour over this old 2-inch, 1-inch videotape of all of those old Pop Goes the Country and the Wilburn Brothers show, and all of those shows were total inspiration once I knew what she was capable of. So then I just... went to town after that.
And your first public performance was where and when?
Bongo Java, and the upstairs, it was a coffee house in Nashville, across from Belmont, upstairs in the little theater, and it was almost 12 years ago, so...
June.
So is that 2006?
Yeah,
2006.
Yeah.
Is that when we did that? Yep. Mm-hmm. And we're still going.
So, Jenny, I have to ask, there comes a point when Bruce brings you the script, mm-hmm. and I assume you read through it and you're entertained,
mm-hmm.
but then together you guys have to actually build Debbie.
Right.
Not just as a character, but physically build Debbie.
Right.
And, you know, Bruce, on stage, he wears this outrageous suit, and but his face, as we sit here right now, and those obviously this is audio, you're just gonna have to take my word for it, people who are listening, but you know, Bruce and Doyle bear a striking resemblance to each other.
Right.
You could rob banks as
I
Debbie.
Oh, isn't that great?
How do you then create this character that is so who looks so different from you?
So fun. You know what helps a lot? Our costume designer, she's an artist, and really sewing, that's kind of, that's not her first, she's a sculptor, really. I mean, she's a brilliant artist, and so that's kind of the way she did the costumes, the fittings. When I would do a fitting with Annie Freeman, it would take a long time because she's very, it's like she was going to build everything. Okay, we need this here, this needs to be tighter. Let's, and then of course, boobs. I had to get some boobs. I mean, not get some boobs. I had to get two padded bras because I had to get two padded bras because Bruce wanted some cleavage. That was all you. And it seemed right, though, for the character. And I didn't really have that to offer, but I knew Victoria's Secret had could help me. They could help me there. So I went, and then I have my own little secret. And then tons of makeup.
The wig transformed you, though. Mm-hmm.
But it did, yeah. I think so. But yeah. When Annie, for the very first costume that she gave me, and she said, put this on, and I can remember walking out of the bathroom, I think at Bongo Java, and saying, oh, there she is. Mm-hmm. And it was a completely different costume. Mm-hmm. There was no cleavage with that one.
There wasn't.
We had to discover the cleavage. Yeah. I'm talking way too much about the cleavage. We can talk about something else.
Well, you know, every episode has to have a title, so this is Bruce Wanted Some Cleavage.
Bruce Wanted Some Cleavage.
Here you go. That's going to get you some hits.
So, we talked earlier about Roger Miller, and I would be really frustrated if Roger Miller had only recorded the Dang Me album.
Yeah.
And I'm a little frustrated that there's a finite number of Doyle and Debbie songs. Have you looked at perhaps not creating a new show, but...
We're about to remedy that, Ken. We have recorded a new record.
Great.
And we've got one song left for Jenny to sing. That's how close we are. Mm-hmm. Colin Linden is a wonderful guitar player and producer and friend of ours who produced it, brought a wonderful band into the studio. And so we're super excited. We've got, you know, 10 new songs. Actually, 12. We're only 10 of them are on the record. Believe it or not, there were some that were even too distasteful for us to include on the record. So
really,
yeah.
Huh.
But yeah, they're just great, and we intended for most of them. Some of them are just silly for silly sake, which we'll always do. But some of them, hopefully, stand alone in that still border on novelty songs, but they're more musically substantial, we think, just because the musicianship and the way we constructed and sang them. So we're really super excited for people to hear those.
I had no idea. I served that up on a
platter. You really did. I thought, uh-huh. Yeah, it's like I slipped you a note there.
Yeah.
So what's the name of the album?
We don't even have one yet. That's right. How fresh it is. I mean, mm-hmm. Bruce was looking for cleavage, I think, is what we're...
Mm-hmm. Bruce Wanted.
Yeah, that's right.
And... And will any of those songs make their way into the existing show, you think?
No. I think the show will pretty much just stand as it is. It's a published play, really,
yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah.
But this breaks us out of that. We would love to do performances, if we can, with a band. I'm not sure that's going to be possible. And then improv in character, we've done that a little bit, and it's a blast. And so we'll still... have some silly things that we'll base the whole thing around, but mostly we're just loose cannons at this point.
And you've done that this week on the on the cruise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that allows you then to play any event, even if they don't want to devote the length of the time to the play.
Totally, yeah.
That's very exciting. Well, speaking of distasteful songs, let's pick another one from the soundtrack. When you're screwing other women,
think of me.
That's it. We'll strive to do that.
Okay.
Doyle and Debbie.
But I still love you.
And I have tried my best to keep you.
You cannot ask me to be someone I cannot be.
I know you're leaving,
and you can't stop me.
But there's just one last thing I ask thee. When you're screwed, think of me. When you're screwing other women, think of me. Just pretend the end is over and you're back in love with me.
Now think of her spot as your G spot, even though it's not to me.
When you're screwing other women, think of me. Is something wrong, dear? Just offer this apology. When you're screwing other women, you think of me.
Song for the ages.
Thank you, Cam.
No question about that.
We're proud of it.
Have audiences surprised you? Do they usually get the joke quickly?
What happens, I think mostly it starts in such a way. I mean, Buddy, the band leader, playing the laptop and a guitar, will come out and give a little curtain speech, but for some reason that really doesn't tip some people off.
Right.
And so they'll be sitting there, and then we'll come out and play it straight and sort of set the hook in the first 10 minutes or so before, and so that they can still think that we are real and just oddities. And then, yeah.
We've had, and I won't say names, but we had a country artist not too long ago come to see us and think that I was real and maybe possibly gunning for my job, I don't know. But I think she just really thought that I was brand new to it. And maybe that I really did have, I'm not sure if she thought I really did have three kids out in the car or what, but... But I thought that's pretty funny. You could get all the way through the show, and I don't know, I think the line was just blurred for her, which is, I think that is a huge compliment, but it should be pretty obvious.
It's also an indication she doesn't get out much.
Right.
And an indictment of the entire school system.
Yes.
Okay. I was trying to make it, you know.
But yeah. A compliment to you nonetheless, no question about it.
Right, thanks. Thank you.
But it does happen that mostly people, they'll get the palm to the forehead, thing about a few minutes in, and then everybody's in on the joke. They still will come up to us afterwards and say, "Is this really your third Debbie?"
After every single performance that people come up, somebody will ask that. Is it really are you really the third Debbie?
And for your listeners, that's just a little ruse in the play that she is my third.
It's here. Right. It remains the original Debbie.
It's 12 years.
Yeah. I've made clear I'm an unabashed fan, and I do a lot of interviewing with people who I don't necessarily have to like their music to talk to them, and with you guys I just never want to stop. It's a pleasure to be with you. If folks have not had a chance to see the original Doyle and the original Debbie, given that this could be on at any time in any market on any platform. Mm-hmm. What clues could we give them to find the next performance of Doyle and Debbie?
DoyleandDebbie.com. We'll have our little tour schedule such as it is, but mostly we're Tuesday nights at the Station Inn in Nashville. And if you're coming to town, go online and find the number that you can call for the reservation. You don't have to pay anything, but it does help if you get a reservation and you're coming a long way. We don't want you to be left out. Yeah.
I mean, you do have to pay once you get there.
Yeah, you do. And,
you know, nothing against Google, but I would say go to our website instead of Google, because sometimes Google has the time wrong, and you'll have, you know, say 15, 25 friends show up an hour late. So, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't have to love country music to love the show. And if you have a special fondness for people like Randy Newman, this show is exactly what you want to see. So, Jenny and Bruce, a pleasure seeing you, and I'll hope to see you soon as Doyle and Debbie.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Americana Music News is brought to you by Sprinter Media. You can reach us at sprintermedia@comcast.net. Theme music from Norm.